This is Fresh Air. A recent report published in the Journal of the American Medical Association said caffeine is the world's most widely used mind-altering drug. If you look at the number of coffee bars and specialty coffee houses cropping up across the country, it's clear Americans are drinking lots of expensive coffee. Like other cities, my city, Philadelphia, is enjoying a coffee renaissance. One of the older, more established shops is Old City Coffee, located on a quiet side street not far from the Liberty Bell. I spoke with coffee roaster Jack Treatment, the co-proprietor of Old City, and with coffee expert Harvey Kravitz about why we love this drink so much.
Coffee consumption reached a peak in 1962. There were more coffee drinkers in 1962 than any time in the country's history. And about that same time, maybe a few years earlier, large roasters started tinkering with the percentage of Robusta beans to Arabican beans. Mm. Arabican beans being the harder type to grow, grown at much higher altitude and rich soil conditions, and that's the real coffee. Robusta is much more abundant, easier to grow, much cheaper. And our country has a really rich coffee heritage, but a lot of it's before the Second World War. And there were many regional coffee roasters throughout the country, just as there were regional beer brewers and things along those lines, part of the food chain.
Well, you mentioned the word beans, and I would actually like to talk about what people should look for when looking for a bean.
Well, fresh.
But how do you know it's fresh?
It's a great question. That's one of the things that that I'm really fussy about is freshness. And because basically coffee, after it's roasted, is good for 7-10 days. It's not going to last longer than that unless you airtight and freeze it. Coffee just is extremely perishable. So all of those bean purveyors you see in supermarkets where the turnover is relatively questionable, you don't know how fresh they are, but there is one great test, and I call it the nose test.
As simple as that.
You stick your nose in those beans, and you will know if they are fresh. If there's any question, when in doubt, go without.
Why? Because it will smell
I brought a sample of freshly roasted beans. When you open that jar, mm-hmm. There's no question about the freshness. I mean, you know. If those beans were left open for a week and then you smell them, they would not have that fragrance, that aroma. It would be missing.
Jack, let me ask you, because I know that I've seen shiny beans, I've seen dull-looking beans, I've seen various color beans. For instance, we have some very
like a medium
brown,
roast,
and then we have some nearly green, sort of pale-looking beans here.
Well, the green beans on the right are unroasted beans. Now, they are processed beans. Coffee is actually a cherry that grows on a tree or a bush. The cherries are then pulped.
Cherries?
It's bright red
cherry, yeah.
If you saw coffee growing, you would not recognize it because it's totally different. The coffee bean that you actually purchase is the seed of the cherry. Hmm. It's dried, pulped, and then roasted, just as nuts or things along those lines. There are usually two beans per cherry. In the case of pea berries, there are one. If you ever hear the term pea berry coffee, it's a very intense brew because there's only one seed per berry.
What about the difference between a shiny bean and a dull-looking bean?
Oh, I'm sorry, I got sidetracked.
Right. Okay,
when
Jack.
Coffee is roasted, you take this green processed bean. It can be a washed or semi-washed bean. Heat is applied, and roast means an intense blast of heat. It's not baked. The objective is, and this is controversial, there's no right or wrong. In Italy, they roast coffee by fire, and it's a very slow process. But the term roasting is a culinary term, means a very quick blast of heat in and out, and then you're done. A typical roast of 26 pounds of coffee for us is about 17 minutes. Mm. That's the difference between, that's what the term roasting means. And there is a chemical transformation, and it goes through a process called pyrolysis, where it is chemically altered. That is why a unroasted bean you cannot brew.
And it has no fragrance at all. It smells green.
It can smell fruity. You can detect nuances between unroasted coffees. The darker the coffee is roasted, the more oil is released. So when you refer to a shiny bean, that is a dark roasted coffee.
Okay.
That is sometimes called an Italian roast or French roast. But the essential oils are released, and there are many different roast colors. In our industry, we have no official standards. What is full city roast? What is medium? What's Italian? Our trade association is working on that right now.
Yeah, they've been offering a tile, color tiles for the roasters, and they've been promising it for, what, years now, and they still haven't offered them.
Well, is there a danger of taking the art away from it if you have to meet this kind of visual standard?
That too, is a very good question, actually.
Great question.
Yeah,
I think we're in an unregulated industry, which is, I think—
Is that good and bad,
I think it's been bad in the past because you could serve anything, call it whatever you want,
right.
And no one could call you on it. I think it's good that standards of quality are being established, and there will be a shakeup in town because some people don't do such a great job.
Yeah, roasting coffee is in fact the real art. What's interesting is that the one thing us people who are into gourmet or specialty coffees, we get a little high-hatted sometimes and look down our noses at the Maxwell Houses and Folgers of the world, but they deserve credit for one thing, and probably one thing only, and that's an incredible consistency of taste and roast, which is anyone who's done any roasting knows how difficult it is to produce that kind of consistency. The thing I've discovered, which I think is interesting relative to the question, is because I experiment roasting at home with a sample roaster, is that the same bean from batch to batch will require a slightly different roast for its optimum flavor, and it varies from bean to bean. For an example, I'll take a bean and roast what looks to be a medium dark, a little lighter than I might normally roast it, and it'll taste darker.
And that's
the kind of thing that very few people will ever pick up unless they really experiment with coffees. And the roaster retailers, some of them understand that, and some of them don't. And the ones that do, I can spot it in their coffee immediately when I taste them.
Let me ask you about flavored beans, because I know the other thing you can see, you're making a face at me, Harvey. You can go to the supermarket and you see amaretto and vanilla, and you're rolling your eyes at me, Jack.
We sell flavored coffee.
You have to sell flavored coffee. There's demand for it.
How does that happen? And is it a matter of
well, you can be a snob and say, absolutely, we will not be involved with it. It's not real coffee. There are some high-quality flavoring extracts that use mostly natural ingredients, and it's an organic base, like an ethyl, an alcohol base. So it's nothing different than vanilla extract, so to speak.
And it's added to the beans after it's roasted.
Right. Coffee's porous, so it absorbs the flavor. When you brew the coffee, you can taste the flavor. If you're drinking very high-quality coffee, it has so much nuance and delicacy on its own, I don't think it needs flavor enhancement.
Yeah, that's why we turn our nose up. You know, the funny thing, especially the industry, is in some way very grateful for the advent of flavors. They make a lot of fun of us on the West Coast because, you know, they think it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But when you're in the business of selling coffee and flavors are selling, I mean, you can't argue, and it's been a boon to sales. The flavored coffees have been a tremendous boon to sales.
Let me ask you, Harvey, about if there are major differences between beans grown in Kenya, beans grown in Hawaii, Jamaica, Colombia, I know, and the choices are going on and on.
There's a lot of different characters that's recognizable in the different coffees grown in different areas. Coffee is grown all around the world, around the equator, 14 degrees north and south of the equator, at high altitudes, and most of those high altitudes are on volcanic slopes where the soil drainage is excellent, your temperatures during the day are high, and your nights are cool, and you get a tremendous amount of rain, which is required for coffee. But it is amazing that all of these countries that grow coffee, people, I love Kenyan coffee. The fact of the matter is that every one of these coffee-growing countries grows coffee that is junk and coffee that is great. And anyone who says, I love it, I mean, they really aren't aware of the tremendous variation that you will get within a country and within regions. Mexican coffee, for example, has a reputation of being a high aromatic coffee and low flavor and body. Yet in Mexico, some of the greatest beans in the world are grown out of certain areas. And that's true of true of Colombia. Mm-hmm. I mean, Colombian beans used to be great. And there were coffees out of Colombia to knock your socks off. And today it's a very mediocre coffee.
More about coffee after this short break. My guests are coffee roaster Jack Treatment and coffee expert Harvey Kravitz. This is Fresh Air. Let's get back to our discussion about coffee. I asked Harvey Kravitz about how to store coffee beans.
Everyone talks about freezing coffee, which in fact will keep fresh coffee a long time, providing, one, it's kept in an airtight container. People too oftentimes will keep their beans in a paper bag in the freezer, and it just won't work. Because the major problem with freezing, that no one really seems to want to convey at times, is that even in an airtight container in the freezer, every time you take it out, you get a tremendous amount of condensation on those beans, which actually really deteriorates them very rapidly. And nobody tells you that very often.
But you need to let them defrost, so to speak.
Before you open, let the air condense the moisture on them. That moisture is a killer. It's like the oxidation that Jack referred to is what destroys the delicate oils in roasted coffee. And the air and the moisture just ruin them quick as could be.
So for people like me that keep my coffee in a little bag out on my counter.
Put them in a jar.
Put them in the jar, in the freezer. Let me throw a question to you, Jack, about the grinding coffee. If people who have their own little grinder at home should do or not do anything,
well,
what should they know?
The maximum brew time is 5 minutes. Anything over 5 minutes, you're over-extracting coffee, which means you're going to be tasting the undesirable characteristics of coffee. So that's the golden rule. If it takes longer than 5 minutes to brew, you need a coarser grind, because the coarser the grind, the faster it will brew. Water will pass through faster if
because there's more space between the grind.
The finer you get, you get more toward like a powder. Turkish coffee is a powder, mm-hmm. Where you actually drink the grounds. So that's the golden rule. If you have the patience to wait 5 minutes and a fairly fine grind takes less than 5 minutes, I think you'll get more extraction per cup if you go off a finer ground.
But are you drip proponents as opposed to, I don't know if people percolate coffee anymore.
Perking is ancient
went out
history.
With the 50s or something?
No one perks
never
coffee
boil.
Today.
Don't boil.
Don't boil.
And except if you're camping. Cowboy coffee's fine.
Right. I've had cowboy coffee. It's quite extraordinary. Let me ask you, Harvey, sort of like people who become an expert in wine, they develop this kind of arsenal of adjectives to be able to describe all the various bottles of wine they've ever consumed in their life. When you get good with coffee, do you also get the language that goes along with
it? Well, you know, the language for cupping coffee in the vocabulary for tastes are extremely elusive to the public. One in particular that the cuppers have used and people in coffee understand is acidic. And it is, in the coffee lingo, is a real positive quality, but you can't transfer that to the public because the public, anything that
we
tastes
say verve.
Yeah. Verve instead of acid.
any euphemism. And the other curious thing about American palates and maybe laymen in general is that anything that isn't to their liking is, quote, bitter. Everything is bitter. If they don't like it, it's bitter. And the irony, of course, is that coffee, the general flavor category of coffee, is in fact bitter. And the bitterer the better, for the most part. But there are a number of things, and if we need to convey anything to our coffee consuming public out there today, when they make their coffee, just try making it a little stronger. And the trick is to make it strong and dilute it to taste. This eliminates the over extraction problem that is so prevalent. Just make it stronger, try it stronger, and dilute it to taste, and you'll see a big difference.
So you mean after you've made your cup of coffee,
make
it seems a little too strong, just add a little bit of water.
Instead of running the water through the coffee, add it to the brewed coffee.
It's easy to fix coffee that's brewed too strong, but once it's too weak, you have to throw it out.
It's hard to make it stronger after you've made it.
And that's what I tell customers in the store. We, in the store, brew coffee very, very intensely, and some people just can't handle it, but it's a very simple matter. Just add a little water.
There's nothing wrong with it. It doesn't have to go through the coffee.
And there's nothing wrong with it. You're the person drinking it, and you're the one who has to enjoy it.
Absolutely.
Harvey Kravitz is a coffee expert. Jack Treatman is co-proprietor of Old City Coffee, located in Philadelphia. This is Fresh Air.